San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, September 15, 2024. Today's lesson is Creating the Perfect Image with Reverend Mark Obkamp.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. As I begin this morning's lesson, let us remember that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this power God, the Living Spirit Almighty. One absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And we anchor ourselves in this truth every Sunday because we truly believe in the principles that are presented within this declaration. Just think, since there is only one power, one intelligence that flows through all creation, which we are all part of, we all have the same power moving through each and every one of us. So there is a power greater than we are in this universe and all universes. And we can call upon that one incredible power and we can use it. That's so cool. Think about that for a moment. We, you and you and you, we can use it. And we have the power within to create anything to change this world as we know it. And to become the very best version of ourselves that we can possibly imagine. And therein lies the truth. We can create anything that we can imagine, but within that imagination also lies our belief systems. So we can create anything that we can imagine to the extent of our own beliefs. We must truly believe it to make it so. And if just two or more believe in accord with each other, the power that connects them is even stronger. So as John Lennon mentioned in his song Imagine, let's think about this world living as one for a moment. In this country, we have an election coming up. For a moment, allow yourself to think of the power as one we could have if for a moment we stepped aside from the mentality of he said, she said, or that if voting a certain way is going to create chaos everywhere, and simply believed in the power that we have within to create peace and joy, emanating from a space of love. Imagine if for a moment we set aside all of our differences and knew only love and spirit or God presence in every situation. Imagine the power if only for a moment the United States were united indeed as one. Imagine the power. And now move that imagination and image into the realm of belief. The power behind the presence is endless. And knowing that as individuals we are powerful beyond measure, think of the power behind a group consciousness. A group consciousness, all of us together. But I digress a bit. So let us focus on today's talk, which is creating the perfect image. When Dr. Connie and I were looking at possibilities of talk titles within this month of finding focus, I got to thinking in terms of creating and what images we like to portray. Well, first of all, we must remember that we are always whole, perfect, and complete in Spirit's eyes. And we all have lessons that we have come to this earthly plane to experience and grow from. Remember that any lesson learned or experienced helps us grow and change. And if we get stuck somewhere along the way, the universe is going to continue to send experiences our way until we become unstuck from that situation. Sometimes it's as easy as changing a thought, and sometimes we may have to change our whole belief system around something. Let me give you an example. Our theme for the center for this year is building conscious community. Now, at the time we were beginning to build conscious community, part of the belief system around that theme was getting more bodies and seats and moving to a different and larger location. Well, as this year has unfolded, at least for me, though the idea of a larger congregation finding a new location back downtown is an exciting prospect, this is not what these words, which are things, have come to mean. For me, it has meant and come to mean what putting together a true, loving, compassionate, and caring spiritual family is all about. It is about the pure energy of joy that we walk into this place every week and helping to grow the consciousness of each individual who congregates with us each week. Yes, it is about building consciousness. And for those of us who have been showing up on a regular basis, I believe that this is being achieved. It will be very interesting when we open our intention forms in November to enjoy just what has been created here. And speaking about the move and stuff, there may be some news coming very soon about that. But for now, it's in consciousness. Now let us focus on creating our own personal images. In his book, The Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz gives us some pretty sound advice on rules to live by. And since we have used this tool fairly often here, I am going to ask a question. And I want answers. What are the four agreements? Go ahead, shout them out.
Be impeccable with your word.
Don't make assumptions. Don't take anything personally.
Always do your best.
Perfect. We got them all. So be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity and say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. Next, don't take anything personally. Nothing that others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. When you are immune to the opinion and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. Number three is don't make assumptions. Well, we all know about assumptions and donkeys, but let's think outside of the box for a moment. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can, being impeccable with your word, perhaps, to avoid sadness and drama. With just one agreement, you can completely transform your life. And always do your best. For me, this is the easiest agreement to keep with myself. Because if I could have done any better in any situation, I would have. The other side of this is, if I'm not joy-filled about the outcome of doing my best, what have I learned from the here and now? And how will I try to do better next time? And remember, we change in every moment, and our focus or reality is going to reflect differently when we are in different mental states, or healthy or sick. Remember that under any circumstance, we have done our best and we need to avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, or remorse and regret. These agreements are a great place to start, and there is so much more to build upon. Now, how many know that there is also a fifth agreement? Would anyone like to venture a guess as to what that might be? Okay, the fifth agreement kind of comes under the heading of something you have heard here often. You know how we have mentioned just a few times and encouraged you all to question everything? Well, the fifth agreement is found in the book of the same name by Don Miguel and Don Jose Ruiz. Be skeptical, but learn to listen. Don't believe yourself or anybody else. Use the power of doubt to question everything that you hear. Is it really the truth? Is it your truth or someone else's? Listen to the intent behind words, and you will understand the real message. I believe that sometimes we can get the message far stronger by feeling it and not only hearing it. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The Four Agreements was first published in 1997, and I was gifted with it around 1999 when my path brought me to San Diego. Back in those days, I was kind of a hot mess, and those were the tools that I personally used to help put myself on a more productive path. And of course, I can honestly stand in front of you and say that I am a much happier being today than I was 25 years ago. But my story is a lot about progress and not perfection. Spirit took care of the perfection part, so all that I had to do was take care of where I am in life right now and realize that if something in my life is not fitting with who I choose to be, then the only one in my life that has the power to change me is me. These are simply some of the tools that I've used along the way. And if they happen to spark something in you, great. If not, there are a lot more tools out there. And they're out there for you to find. There is a power far greater than we are in the universe, and we can use it. Somehow, once we begin setting our own path, it will find us. Our job is to simply recognize it and allow ourselves to become it and live it. And remember this, please, if you take nothing else away from today's lesson, then take this with you. Ernest Holmes, founder of the Science of Mind and author of the Science of Mind textbook, which was first copyrighted, by the way, in 1938, had this to say about living our own lives and finding our own direction. It can be found on page 119, paragraphs 3 and 4 in the Science of Mind textbook. Quote, "Do not let anyone discourage or belittle your efforts by asking, 'Why don't you walk on the water? Jesus did.' Do not be sidetracked by any of these futile suggestions. These mental obstructions which an unbeliever would seek to throw in your path. If we had the understanding which Jesus had, we would be able to walk on the water." And a little aside here, if we do have the power and understanding that Jesus had within us, we just haven't recognized it yet. So continuing from Ernest Holmes, not being able to walk on water falls within our own personal belief systems. He goes on to say, "I am not at all confused by the fact that we do not do this today. Someday, one will come along who knows how to walk on or over water. We are probably on the verge of a great spiritual awakening. People are so tired of looking for things where they do not exist that they are going to more and more completely open their thought to the realization that spirit is an active presence. But, and this is in italics, if we spend our entire time trying to find out why it does not work, we shall never find out why it does work. Arguing is often a waste of time. Somehow there must come to each individual an interior conviction that we are the one and we are one with the universe, and that the spirit flows through us at the level of our recognition and an embodiment of it. For this is the way, the truth, and the life. However, for each of us, this truth is an individual understanding of it. The truth will not be the same for everyone. It will, however, be what they understand it to be. And do you know why Uncle Ernie wanted us to question everything? Well, he states on page 365, paragraph 2 in the textbook, that the answer to every question is within man, because man is within spirit, and spirit is an indivisible whole. The solution to every problem is within man. The healing of all disease is within man. The forgiveness of all sin, which you know is just missing the mark, right? Okay, that is also within man. The raising of the dead is within man. And I want you to repeat this part of the statement after me. Heaven is within man.
Heaven is within man.
He goes on to state that this is why Jesus prayed to the indwelling I Am, and said, Our Father which art in heaven. And again he said, The kingdom of heaven is within you. So I am going to pause for just a moment and let you contemplate the words that have just been spoken. The kingdom of God is within you. You are spirit's beloved child, and the kingdom is within you. Therefore, everything, every single gift that is to be given is within you. Joy, peace, clarity, love, light, power, whatever you desire, it's within you as long as you believe it to be your truth and you claim it as yours. But you have to believe it. You have to claim it. Ruiz told us to be impeccable with our word. Why do you think that this could be so? Well, Ernest Holmes has a lot to say about the word and the words we use. A few weeks ago, Dr. Connie used some words by Ernest Holmes, and I'm going to remind us of those words again. They can be found on page 310, paragraph 3, in the Science of Mind textbook. The Bible says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. The Bible clearly speaks of the physical universe and everything in it as though it were a Word in form, that God is Spirit, that the action of spirit upon itself produces creation, that man is a complement of the universe, an incarnation of the universe partaking of the same nature. Consequently, his word is creative. And if his word is creative, then your word is creative, your words are creative, your word is creative, and guess what? My words are creative too. So on page 311, paragraphs 2 and 3, Holmes, in his words, tells us that science tells us that all form comes from one substance, made manifest through vibration. This further helps us to see the relationship of the Word to the formless, and teaches us the indestructibility and eternality of energy and cosmic stuff. The coal and oil we burn today passed millions of years ago from one form into another, and now as they burn, are passing back into energy again. Nothing has happened to the energy except that it was temporarily imprisoned, that in its release and explosion it might produce heat and energy for utilitarian purposes, but nothing has happened to it. The great souls gave us this spiritual consciousness 5,000 years ago, but it was hard to make us believe it. They have had to remain in the background until science, at last, resolves the physical universe into the substance, indefinable and invisible, which men like Socrates announced, and upon which conclusions men like Jesus based their whole system of thought and method of procedure. So who knows? Since words are things, and they all go into the creative process, and we have the power to create, What are we speaking today, right here and now, that could spark a thought or an idea that may not show up for another 5,000 years? Think about this for a moment. If words are things, and there is no timeline in God's mind, what words were spoken hundreds or even thousands of years ago that are now lending themselves to the technology of today? And think of how humankind has advanced itself over the last 100 years. Since the word, and I believe that words and thoughts go hand in hand, has always been, what changes will the next 3 generations experience? Though the possibilities are there, their time has not yet come because the consciousness of this planet has not caught up yet. My question is, what form will the human body have taken in the next 500 years? Remember, though in this form, though we may not be able to fathom it, the universe already knows. And maybe even in science fiction, the words have already been spoken. Psst, do you want to know a secret? Well, apparently in 2006, a lot of people did. And the universe chose Rhonda Byrne to pass the words on to us. In her book, The Secret, she mentioned to us that the secret has to do with the law of attraction, that we are the most powerful magnet in the universe, and that we can draw anything to us. Now, I would like to expand on this just a little. She talks about the law of attraction and how like attracts like, but we are only going to attract to us what we believe. That is the caveat. She explains that the law of attraction is this. Have you ever started to think about something you were not happy about? And the more you thought about it, the worse it seemed? That's because as you think one sustained thought, the law of attraction immediately brings more like thoughts to you. In a matter of minutes, you have gotten so many like unhappy thoughts coming to you that the situation seems to be getting worse. The more you think about it, the more upset you get. Your life right now is a reflection of your past thoughts. That includes all the great things and all the things that you consider not so good. Since you attract them to you, what you think about most, it is easy to see what your dominant thoughts have been on every subject of your life, because that is what you have experienced until now. Now you are learning the secret, and with this knowledge you can change everything. If you can think about what you want in your mind and make that your dominant thought, you will bring it into your life. Think about that for a moment. If you make something your dominant thought, that's what you invite in. So remember what I mentioned earlier about assuming nothing? So here, we are being told to create a dominant thought to change our lives. This seems like a little bit of a contradiction. Or is it? What I think we are getting here is that we must assume nothing or believe nothing until we can prove it for ourselves. We need to create our own belief system and our own truths for ourselves, and then do our very best to live by them. In other words, we get to practice what we preach. And as long as it does not bring pain or hurt to others, we get to create our own lives and bring all the positive energy into it that we can imagine. But we must be fully clear on what it is that we believe. Yes, we are powerful beyond measure, but only to the extent that we believe. What we are here and now is a product of our beliefs, and if we don't like it, it is up to us to change our beliefs. And as always, the buck stops here. We have the power within to do anything imaginable. And I have seen it demonstrated. I know we all have. We've seen it here. We've seen it with people we know. It just happens. We can heal ourselves. There is no disease in God's eyes, but within us is the belief of dis-ease. Sickness is not part of who we are. However, we may create sickness within ourselves because somewhere, somehow, we have created or chosen this as a way to see things differently, and that has become profound. Believe it or not, God did not create illness. We did. And if there is a lesson to be learned somewhere within this earthly experience, the universe has allowed us to have this experience. There is also no suffering except what we have created. Though there seems to sometimes be a very clear line between good and evil, it is what mankind has determined as such. I know about my truth of right and wrong, and good and evil, and there are things that I would never do because they do not feel right or appear plausible for me. And I am certainly going to have my opinion and make assumptions about certain things. But I also need to realize that this is because of the knowledge, beliefs, and truths within me. The assumption that I must never make is to decide what is right or wrong for someone else. If I feel that someone is way off track and I don't feel comfortable with who they are, I need to remember that as I, they are a beloved child of the one Creator, and love them and know them for the higher self that they are. I need to always approach all situations with love and compassion. And I need to realize that I do not understand the path that they have chosen. I don't need to. Remember, the universe always says yes. And if someone has chosen a difficult path, there is a reason for it. There certainly is evil out there, and humankind seems to have created it. But humankind can change it as well. I must also remember that I can only change the world by being the best me that I can be. Remember a few moments ago when I mentioned the law of attraction? Well, let's think about this for a moment. The universe was created in love, and if anyone is adding energy to it that is less or anything else than love, it is going to return to them tenfold. Some call it karma. I just call it the universe saying yes. So it really is up to us as individuals who are part of the one mind to be the best we that we can be. We can only do the work on ourselves, and we need to trust that the rest will take care of itself. Like attracts like. So we must never make assumptions and always be the best we that we can be, which has already been given to us. We are all whole, perfect, and complete. And if we choose to build on becoming the greatest we that we can already be, or be the greatest we that we want to be, we carry that power, wisdom, and light within. To create that change, in 2003, Eckhart Tolle released a book that would become featured in Oprah Winfrey's book club. It was called A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. In it, he states that the truth is inseparable from who you are. Yes, you are the truth. The very being that you are is truth. Jesus tried to convey that when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." These words uttered by Jesus are one of the most powerful and direct pointers to the truth, if understood correctly. If misinterpreted, however, they become a great obstacle. Jesus speaks of the innermost I am, the essence, identity, of every man and woman, every life form, in fact. He speaks of the life that you are. Some Christian mystics have called it the Christ within, or Christ consciousness. Buddhists call it your Buddha nature. For Hindus, it is Atman, the indwelling God. When you are in touch with that dimension within yourself, and being in touch with it is your natural state, not some miraculous achievement, all your actions and relationships will reflect the oneness with all life that you sense deep within. This is love. Laws, commandments, rules, and regulations are necessary for those who are cut off from who they are, the truth within. They prevent the worst excesses of the ego, and often they don't even do that. Love and do what you will, said St. Augustine. Words cannot get much closer to the truth than that. Joy does not come from what you do. It flows into what you do, and thus into this world from deep within you. So the love on this earth comes from each and every one of us. It flows into the earth as we put it there, as our thoughts, as our words, as our actions. The misperception that joy comes to you from what you do is normal. And it also is dangerous because it creates a belief that joy is something that can be derived from something else, which has an activity or thing. You then look to the world to bring you joy and happiness. But it cannot do that. This is why many people live in constant frustration. The world is not giving them what they think they need. You will enjoy any activity in which you are fully present. When you enjoy doing something, you are really experiencing the joy of being in its dynamic aspect. That's why anything you enjoy doing connects you with the power behind all creation. And so, my brothers and sisters, I ask you one question today. Are you ready to remind yourselves of the joy within? And remember your sacred connection with the one creative power within the universe, and therefore, all that is? Do I hear a yes and yes?
Yes.
All right. Then put your hands over your heart space and repeat after me. Today.
Today.
I recognize my sacred connection with the loving creator.
I recognize my sacred connection with the loving creator.
I stand in my true essence.
I stand in my true essence.
And walk in the love and light of who I am.
And walk in the love and light of who I am.
I am a loved and loving child of the universe.
I am a loved and loving child of the universe.
And share this love with everyone that I meet.
And share this love with everyone that I meet.
Because spirit lives within me always.
Because spirit lives within me always.
I always do the very best that I can.
I always do the very best that I can.
God and I are one.
God and I are one.
And so within this consciousness,
and so within this consciousness,
I am always the best me that I can be.
I am always the best me that I can be.
I am truth.
I am truth.
I am light.
I am light.
And I am love.
And I am loved.
And I am loved in return.
And I am loved in return.
Thank you, Mother, Father, God. For creating me in your image.
For creating me in your image.
I release these words into the law.
I release these words into the law.
And I simply let them be.
And I simply let them be.
I am them.
I am them.
And they are me.
And they are me.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so just breathe for a moment. You have just realized your sacred connection to all of creation. And realize that you are always the best you that you can be from moment to moment. It can't be in any other way, for it is already written in the universe, the stars, and the heavens. As I bring today's lesson to a close, I would like to share something with you from our founder, Ernest Holmes. It can be found on page 226, paragraph 2. In the Science of Mind textbook. And I invite you to close your eyes for a moment if you feel comfortable doing so, and take these words to heart. Spirit has already provided everything. We can increase our receptivity by treating ourselves something after this manner. There is that within me which knows, understands, accepts, believes, recognizes, and embodies. I know that I know. I believe and am conscious that I believe. I am confident of the power of my own word and have implicit reliance upon the truth. I expect the truth to operate. In this manner, one becomes more conscious of a divine presence, power, and law responding to his word. Thus, one consciously builds up his receptivity to the truth. I invite you to use your words wisely. And I thank you for your time and attention this morning. Namaste.